Ian Hutchinson back with our Rub of the Mind podcast with Richard Zocal, former PGA Tour player, Canadian Golf Hall of Fame member. How you doing, Richard?
I'm doing terrific, Ian. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and particularly these Rub of the Mind podcasts. I get excited to talk about them and these discoveries that MindLink is coming out with.
Well, you're going to build my confidence, and by saying that, that's the topic of our conversation today. Confidence. We're going to hear a lot of confidence. You know, guys, you know, making the move up from the web.com to the PGA Tour, they're going to talk a lot about confidence.
Right.
Do we really, what exactly is confidence? I mean, is it physical? Is it mental? Is it something we acquire? Is it something we're born with? I mean, it seems that it's easily thrown around, but a lot of people don't really understand what it is.
Yes, it's talked about, and I think quite often it, in most cases, it's misused. And if we could just jump kind of before that, our self-talk as golfers is something that we do, and we talk about confidence, and it's very critical.
Right.
And you know, how we self-talk to each other.
Right.
You know, I think we use the word confidence inappropriately.
Right.
I think that people say, well, you know, when we watch commentators on television say, whoa, look at him, he's full of confidence.
Sure.
And we go, well, you know, duh, of course he's full of confidence. He just hit it, you know, close to the hole, or he's playing really well.
Absolutely.
And I think the word, the misuse in this self-talk about confidence, is that a lot of people think they get the cart before the horse. They believe that you had to grab hold of confidence so you can perform well.
Right.
And we at MindLink Golf think it's, you know, it's a polar opposite. Confidence, it can have two meanings. Number one, the confidence that we're talking about right now is a feeling. I feel confidence as a result of being able to perform well.
Right.
It's a byproduct feeling. And when you're able to perform well, you feel confident. You feel like you can, you know, handle the shot at hand and so forth. And there's another type of confidence, which is more of a belief. Well, they're both kind of beliefs. One's a belief. One type of confidence is a feeling. The other type of confidence is a belief. So let's go to the belief one, jump to the belief one. Whereas Tiger Woods is about to turn professional, he hasn't turned professional, and we're going back to 1996.
Sure.
And he's going, you know, he believes he can beat Jack Nicklaus's major record. Well, he hasn't even played one day of professional golf, but
that's
he
right.
has a belief. He's confident that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a different terminology, a different meaning, and we all know that, you know, certain words have different types of meaning. So this self-talk is really important.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up a very good point there. You know, when you're talking, I mean, when you get to a certain level of golf, or in anything you do, really, it's not just about golf, anything you do, you get to a certain level, and you're going to have a certain amount of confidence, aren't you? I mean, based on what you've already accomplished. I mean, a guy on the web.com tour, for example, has gotten to a pretty high level of golf, you know, but he's got to get to that next level, obviously, and, you know, does he have the confidence? So, you know, you may have a certain level of it, but you have to gain more.
Absolutely, it's a never-ending climb, just as the steps up. You know, that guy who got to the web.com tour obviously is a successful golfer in so many ways. He's gotten from the junior level to the amateur level to the collegiate level to the professional level all the way, and then he's got to continue on. And literally how that player, and it's all relative, it's the same for the amateur golfer as well. The self-talk these golfers have within their own minds is very critical. And it's really important that they don't, you know, waste any time, or as we say, golf insanity, by, you know, not making any changes, doing the same actions and expecting different results.
Right.
So another aspect of this self-talk and terminology is that's critical to the player is how they talk to themselves, particularly when they you know, hit bad shots.
Right.
You know, the self-talk is, you know, they hit a bad shot and they go, oh, you're an idiot, or you're
sure.
this, or you're that. And what happens is their habitual comments really resonate. So It's critical. If you really want to change who you are as a golfer and start to get on a path that's going to cycle up,
right.
You need to stop doing that. You need to stop that self-deprecation,
yeah.
And you need to focus in on what what you have to do in which is the process. And again, you have to stop that whole thought of being result oriented, or else you'll just continually stimulate that anxiety,
right.
And you're going to get down the rabbit hole all over again. So it's really essential and necessary to examine what you're doing. It's necessary to make changes where changes are needed. If you're into that self-deprecation,
right.
And you need to make sure that when you make mistakes, you don't view them as opportunities to ridicule yourself, but they're opportunities to make changes and do something about your poor performance. So
right.
These are getting things into the right perspective.
Right. Well, when you get into a self-destructive mode, it leads to another term that we use quite often, which is nerves. Feeling nervous. And once you get into calling yourself an idiot or whatever, obviously the nerves are going to enter into it. Nerves, there's a difference between nerves and nerve. There's
nervousness.
Yes,
exactly. Well, let's focus in. And that the term nerve and the self-talk of, we listen to the TV commentators talk about, oh, this guy's got a case of the nerves.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know what they mean. They mean they're nervous, the nervousness of that player.
Right.
Or he's got control of his nerves, or his nerves are out of control. And quite frankly, I think that term nerves is very widely misused.
Right.
First of all, nerves is a wiring system. That your nerves, our nervous system,
right.
Is a conduit that sends electronical messages from the synapses of our brain to the muscles of our body. And if it's not a nerve problem, it's a thought problem,
right.
Where the player is having anxious thoughts and they can get out of control. So their mind thoughts get out of control. Their nerves don't get out of control. Their thoughts get out of control. But
right.
I think when we constantly say, oh, it's his nerves or my nerves weren't good today, it really puts up a barrier to really understand what's going on, and then it really continues the golf insanity. We're not able to make progress with it. So if we talked about this person's anxieties were out of control, then it increases the chances of possibly doing something about it. Let's put it that way. So this wide utilization of the wrong term of nerves, it's just a pet peeve of mine, and,
right.
And there's a lot of people that know me know that it is a pet peeve of mine.
It's actually a story that you brought up, dating back to 1987 when you were in contention at the Canadian Open. I remember this story against Curtis Strange.
Yeah.
And you had gotten there. You had no reason really to think that, maybe you didn't belong, in that group with Curtis Strange. I mean, Curtis Strange was the number one guy around at that point. You had earned your stripes, so to speak. But at the same time, you were concerned that, hey, you were just the new guy on tour.
Well, exactly. Well, in my situation, everyone goes through these situations, whatever their situation is. And I had, gotten onto the PGA Tour and climbed the ladder and learned to get into contention, but I hadn't learned to deal with the contention once I got in there. So I found myself in the final group of leading the Canadian Open into the final round and playing with, the number one player at the time, Curtis Strange, who was just a cold-blooded assassin. and I knew at the time, with my lack of experience being in there, and Curtis Strange was probably the most cold-blooded killer there was, particularly at that time. And I think I knew I wasn't going to win. Curtis knew I wasn't going to win, and Curtis knew that I knew that I wasn't going to win, that type of thing. And all I was trying to do was just keep my proverbial stuff wired tight,
right.
In my thoughts. And it was because it was new for me, the anxious thoughts. My anxiety was, I was trying to contain it and control it. And more often than not, you have to go through those situations. It's, go through that, what's called a baptismal of fire, learn to find out what they are, get a little familiar with it, and you have to fail a number of times in most cases before you can make those strides to get and learn how to win. So even though I didn't handle that as good as I could, it was a great learning experience for me, and I was able to, you know, make some adaptations because, you know, as I mentioned, it's necessary to make changes. And these mistakes that you make are, if you have a healthy mindset, they're opportunities to improve.
And that really is the bottom line, isn't it? I mean, you make it a learning experience because, I mean, you have a bad experience out there, it can crush you. It can literally, stick with you for weeks, days, months afterwards.
Absolutely, that's what this self-talk is about and the terminology we use. We want to make sure from a MindLink Golf perspective that you're doing thoughts. You know, the thoughts that you stimulate have access to the freedom, to your emotional freedom. It's very important your self-talk is healthy. Yeah. It's very important you use the proper terminology, and it's extremely important to detach emotionally from the result and put your attention onto the process, which is focusing on your two key performance markers of assessing and executing and then letting it go.
Well, what you said about Curtis Strange being a cold-blooded assassin, I mean, really, when you examine what happened, you almost have to be cold-blooded yourself, detach yourself from the emotional part of it, and just look at the facts, I would think, what went wrong, what could I have done right, how would I have handled this differently. You got to look at it almost as if you're not the person who was involved.
Well, you have to, you're right, you have to do that detaching, and you see that with every successful person, whether it's golf or whether it's business or whatever. You know, just look at how Brooks Koepka was able to perform coming down the stretch of the U.S. Open.
That's
just watch any champion, whether it's Justin Thomas or Jordan Spieth or even Dustin Johnson, any model of success. There is that detachment, and that's when they're into the zone, that's when they're in the control of their thoughts and emotions, and that's what the proper self-talk and proper terminology, and that's why we do it, is to strive to get better.
You brought up some of the new generation of guys coming up on the PGA Tour, and that really is, I mean, obviously they have the physical talents, but really, I mean, you brought up a very good point when you talk about a guy like Brooks Koepka at the U.S. Open. Man, that was quite a performance by his, what he did. And basically, he detached himself from everything except what he had his mind on.
And he did a wonderful job of it. Here's another one that just popped into my mind. We're watching Justin Thomas, chasing down, player of the year this year, and he was in an interview a couple of weeks ago. Someone asked him if he was jealous of Jordan Spieth's success, and he said, "Yes, I am jealous." And I personally believe that's the wrong terminology. I think he was inspired. Jealous, in my opinion, and if you break down the definition of jealous, it has a very negative connotation, and along with that, you have an ill mindset towards whomever you're jealous of. But I think the proper term and of this is that Justin Thomas was tremendously inspired by his very good friend Jordan Spieth. So I think there's another example of poor terminology or terms used, because I don't think Justin Thomas was jealous at all. I think he was tremendously inspired, and he did something about it.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, we do tend to misuse terms a lot, so very interesting stuff, sir.
Thanks so much. It's always a pleasure, Ian, and it's a good topic for this week's Rub of the Mind podcast.
Well, we'll have more coming up. We got a lot coming up, so we'll talk at you real soon.
Thanks so much, Ian.
You bet, Dick.